America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It's a great nation despite the fact that many parts of this nation have been fed a great big bowl of fraud. On what? On the benefits of casinos, legalized gambling, various exploitation efforts. You see it in Atlantic City. You see it everywhere. You can, in fact, go to our website, to michaelmedved.com, to read the summaries about why it is that this idea that somehow you're going to bring economic benefits, you're going to bring new jobs, you're going to bring new money, new investment, growth, et cetera, et cetera, into your neighborhood or into your community or into your city by building some kind of casino, why none of that ever seems to pay off. If you disagree or if you have experience with the wonderful benefits of improving your town, your community, your city with some kind of casino gambling, if that's worked for you, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. There's a terrific piece in The Week, and it's by Michael Brendan Doherty, who's one of the senior editors over there. And he asks a very good question. Do you want to increase crime, poverty, and addiction in your area? Build a casino. Okay, really, this'll do it. If for some reason you would like to take revenge upon all of your neighbors and everyone else and really louse up where you live, by all means, build a casino. By the way, take Atlantic City, for example. Please take Atlantic City. I went to Atlantic City several times as a little boy because I was a very weird kid. Not that you had to be weird at that time to go to Atlantic City. Yeah, breaking news, Jeremy says. No, I was a weird kid in this way. My parents had moved out to San Diego from our home in Philadelphia when I was six. And if you ask most people, let's see, where would you rather spend the summer? On the beaches and the beautiful Balboa Park and the playgrounds of San Diego where summers are mild and lovely? Or in sticky and sweltering and hot and very urban North Philadelphia, where my grandmother lived? I wanted to spend summers with my grandmother, and I did. And one of the things that we would do together is we would take the bus to Atlantic City. So my grandmother and her sister, my Aunt Irene, and me. And yes, of course, I remember the diving horse. I am sure that there are other people here. It was an attraction on the Atlantic City Pier. And this is before gambling, and you could ride on a jitney, and there was the boardwalk, and the ocean was kind of cool, and it was right there. And even back in the 1960s and 1950s, Atlantic City already had an air of fading grandeur. What really made Atlantic City successful in the first place was Prohibition, because it was a place, people have seen Boardwalk Empire. So it was a place where people could go to get booze and a little bit of excitement. But still, Atlantic City was enough of a place. I went there in Atlantic City as a page at the Democratic Convention in 1964. They had the National Democratic Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey in 1964. And this is long before they tried to save the city with legalized gambling. In any event, they just closed a $2.4 billion casino. No, it's unbelievable. The Revel lost 6,000 jobs, and then another casino closed. And Atlantic City, the casino gambling has been a disaster. And why does it end up being a disaster? Because, you see, this is the problem with making profits on casinos, is generally the whole idea of capitalism is if you create wealth, you're actually making everybody more wealthy. The people who work for you, your customers, you're giving them something you want. But if what you are selling to people is basically just a fraud, taking their money with the idea that, oh, yeah, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to invest by putting money down in this roulette game or in this blackjack game. Look, you lose money. That's how casinos make their money. So the idea that you're going to create wealth and grow a community by encouraging the wrong type of people to come in and actually lose money rather than investing money in your business, that's a very destructive idea, isn't it? 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Michael Brendan Doherty writes, almost every economically depressed region in America is begging for a casino salvation. Casinos have opened in nearly every major city in Ohio. Really? There's a casino in Youngstown now? In Akron? That'll go well. Baltimore residents are celebrating gambling jobs at the Horseshoe. Crime-ridden Springfield, Massachusetts is approved for an MGM-led casino. Just across the border from casinos there are four casinos that are going to be installed in depressed areas of upstate New York. And, of course, that'll go well. These poor, underemployed regions, writes Doherty, are being sold a scam. This racket portrays itself as a great deal. Local people get a load of new jobs, the state collects more tax revenue, and the area will boom as it brings in wealthy tourists from beyond the region. What really happens, though, is this. Jobs are created temporarily. Then the casinos and the state houses prey upon the elderly and the poor. The table games, which justified hiring locals, are gradually replaced by slots and maybe a sports bookie behind a barred windows. Shambolic pensioners and working-class gambling addicts spend their days sitting at slot machines that are designed by geniuses who study the art and brain science of addiction. Complimentary bus rides are offered to transport more of the indebted and dependent to the cash gobbler. I mean, does anybody find the experience of you go into a casino? I mean, even Las Vegas casinos. And, right, I understand that Las Vegas is the example that everyone uses because that is a very, very big industry, the gaming industry in Las Vegas. Reno, too, to a lesser extent. But even in a high-end Las Vegas casino, you walk onto this casino floor as opposed to the hotel itself or the swimming pool or anything else. You walk on the casino floor. Anybody feel, wow, this is a really nice atmosphere? This is a happy place? This is a place I want to spend more time? 1-800-955-1776. The only noticeable pickups in business happen when welfare deposits are made. State issue welfare debit cards are often visible at casinos and strip clubs, which is why the gambling trade calls the announcement of every new casino a take on welfare payments. The casinos are a way of clawing back welfare revenue and a hidden way of making the state's financing more regressive. In other words, what he's saying is, okay, the state gives people welfare. They then invest the welfare or lose the welfare or misappropriate it at the casinos. And then the government takes some of it back. But meanwhile, you're promoting terrible behavior. And you're promoting negativity. And it's depressing. Wasn't there a big casino that they established in downtown Detroit that was going to rescue the city? That was, what, 10 years ago? That's gone well. I mean, we know how well the city of Detroit is doing. Look, I think they can turn it around. And maybe Mayor Duggan is exactly the guy to do it. But for goodness sake, I mean, casinos? Would you want one in the neighborhood you lived? And you see, this is a problem, is the cities that are doing well are cities that are turning around downtown and making downtown a nicer place to live. Really. And that's happening in a lot of cities. It happened to some extent in Center City, Philadelphia. It happened in Cleveland. It's happened across the country. It's happened even to some extent in Newark. Now, would that process be helped by setting up a big casino right downtown? Are you kidding me? And I know, I think they have some casino in Cleveland and downtown. But is that a well, I'm sure we'll find out with the Republican convention there. Money doesn't trickle down to local residents, writes Doherty. It flows out from them in armored trucks to global gaming conglomerates, executives in Vegas, and to the state treasury. In the rarest of rare cases, a few members of an obscure Indian tribe will collect absurd $100,000 annual stipends. Yeah, well, those Indian gaming casinos, that's turned things around really effectively for Native Americans too, right? I mean, reservations are now model communities. Anybody think that's true? If you do, give us a call.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, talking about the closure of a bunch of facilities in Atlantic City, which is very, very sad because, I mean, some of the Jersey Shore really is beautiful for people who don't know it. Don't think about the TV show. Just if you go to Cape May is a beautiful place, historically preserved, and just the landscape is lovely near there. And there are parts of New Jersey. And I know nobody believes me, but look, I spent my early years of childhood and summers in Philadelphia, and there are parts of southern Jersey that are just lovely. And Atlantic City shouldn't have to be such a depressed, blighted, crime-ridden community. But it seems to me that when it placed a huge bet on casino gambling, it was a sucker's bet, as it almost always is. 1-800-955-1776. Let's go to Elliot in Salt Lake City, Utah. You're on the Medved Show.
Michael, it's good to be with you, man. Longtime listener. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on this whole gambling thing. First of all, I don't think all things are created equal. We're talking about casinos here. And I am for gambling, quite frankly. I mean, we're just a couple hours outside of Mesquite, Nevada, Vegas, and Wendover, Nevada. And quite frankly, there's a lot of money that flows outside of Utah and into Nevada because we have a lot of people who want to gamble, including myself. Now, of course, I'm saying this at the risk of my local clergyman listening to me. I'll probably hear about it on Sunday. But, you know, even something as simple as legalizing sports betting. I mean, there's so much sports betting that goes on, and that money flows outside of our state through online sports betting sites. I tend to think that if Utah were to legalize sports betting, at least in some sort of fashion, that it would be a boost to our economy.
Okay, I don't know about sports betting specifically, but given the fact that you travel over the border to Nevada, have you ever wondered about why the outcome of, in terms of health and marital stability and every indicator of social health is dramatically different between Utah and Nevada? Because very similar populations, almost the same populations in the two states. It's about the same ethnic mix in the two states. And yet people in Utah have among the highest life expectancy, the better health outcomes, more marital stability. And people in Nevada, well, here's a mostly true. It's rated on the Truthometer in PolitiFact. Nevada is number one in unemployment, violent crime, car theft, divorce, robberies, and foreclosures. Now, aren't you glad that that's across the border in Nevada and not in your state of Utah?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely glad that it's across the border, but I would hate to pin all of that on gambling.
Well, what would you pin it on?
Well, gambling, I suppose, is what the major attraction is that attracts.
Well, but gambling also attracts prostitution. It always happens. And I mean, I know that prostitution also exists in Utah, but not legally. And in portions of Nevada, it does. And from what I understand, I believe in the city of Las Vegas, prostitution or escort services or however you want to describe it is the second largest business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure it is. That's something I don't necessarily partake in, so I wouldn't be able
good,
to speak.
Good. I'm glad your local clergyman will be glad to hear that, and your wife, if you have one. But you see, here's the point that I would ask you, Elliot. Do you, if you enjoy, when you cross the border into Utah, do you do it just to do sports betting, or do you play board game gamblings or table?
It's generally table games with some sports betting because I can sports bet from home.
Do you have any knowledge of how much this costs you in the course of a year?
Yeah. No, I keep tally, and you know, for me, I'm probably the exception. I go with a set amount, and it's very low. I know some of my gambling cohorts would probably laugh at the small amount of money that I'm losing there. But I do go intending to lose. I look at it more as entertainment, and I know that's kind of a cop-out excuse. Most gambling addicts would say, "Oh, it's entertainment. I'd spend more than that if I were doing movies or something," which is not the truth. But
would you say? Because a lot of folks who are regular players say that they come close to breaking even. You don't break even,
do
you?
Oh, heavens, no.
Okay,
no.
Good. Then you're a guy who's honest with yourself. Here is a point that I would make is that, and you know, maybe someday you'll remember this conversation. If when you think of the gas you save and the money you save and what you could do if you put that away and you put that away for a purpose or a goal, or it's just it's one of those things. People, as much as people who are recovering alcoholics are some of the happiest people around, really, because they appreciate what life can be like when you're sober. I honestly believe you will be an even happier person than you sound like right now, Elliot, if you're able to do with somewhat fewer trips over the border to Nevada. Tina in Puyallup, Washington. Tina, you're on the MedVed Show.
Hello, third-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share a personal story. We had a big casino open up in the area a few years back. And I worked in a bar, and at the time, initially, two bartenders were going every night and making it big and always coming out ahead. And my husband was doing the same thing, and my brother as well. And within 6 months, both of those bartenders were in Gamblers Anonymous. My brother committed fraud at work, left there, obviously, and I was divorced. And it had entirely to do with the gambling, and I think I've even heard on your show a local gambling commissioner talking about how benign, and these are people who would just go to Vegas anyway, and I'm so against it, and I've just seen it, you know, I've been personally affected by it, you know, and all those people have been very, very affected by it.
Well, look, Tina, I obviously, you know how strongly I agree with you, and I think that if you ask most people, was the casino that you worked at, was it close to your home, or was it some miles away?
I didn't work in the casino. I worked in a bar, and so it was just the environment. You know, I just had people that would go out after work.
Oh, I see. So it was a bar near the casino. See, that's one of the other things that is part of this sucker's bet is people believe that, all kinds of bars and restaurants will do a lot more business because all the extra people will be brought to the casino. What they don't realize is people are spending all their money in the casino because they don't want to lose even one precious minute at which they can be losing money. Tina, I hope things are going better for you now, and thank you for sharing your sobering, and I mean that in every way, story. Speaking of sobering stories, Democrats who are betting, you'll pardon the expression, on victory come this November had better take a look at some of the numbers and some of the odds. There's new information on that is worth sharing. Plus, what really went so terribly wrong in Atlantic City? We'll tell you about that and more on the MedVed Show.
Portions of the Michael MedVed Show are sponsored by the National Shooting Sports Foundation.
And the National Shooting Sports Foundation has a question for you. If you own a gun, then they want you to do even more to respect it and secure it. In the coming weeks, we're going to be debunking all kinds of common myths about gun safety with experts from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Tune in, and you can learn how you can educate your family and your community about safe gun handling and storage. This goes way beyond partisanship. It's something everybody should be concerned about. You can learn more by going to projectchildsafe.org right now. That's projectchildsafe.org. And when you talk about keeping children safe, one of the things to keep children safe from is the impacts of gambling addiction. And look, I am not some kind of extremist or purist or anything like that on this. A friendly poker game, even if you end up losing money, that's different from going to a casino. Because if you're playing with friends, one of the friends is going to win. If you're playing at a casino, the casino's going to win. And they will, sooner or later. I mean, you may have some good moments, but it's not going to work in your favor. It's set up by some of the smartest people in the world who know what they're doing to make darn well sure that in the long term, the house always wins. Except the house only wins if they continue to lure people in and then separate them from their money. And this is one of the reasons that I think it's so important to make it clear. This is just not another form of capitalism. The idea of capitalism basically is doing something for someone else that he wants. If somebody else wants, I'm very conscious. I've got wedding on the brain, right? Because our son Danny was married a week ago Sunday, and it was a very, very big deal in our family. So there are all kinds of wonderful wedding gifts, and they're things that you wouldn't even expect, like a certain kind of peeler that was given. It was a high-tech peeler, and this is neat. This is something that somebody wants. Somebody paid money for it, gave it as a gift. It was welcomed. Lots of people gain, including the people who get the... That's not true with gambling, because what you're doing is you're taking money under false pretenses. You're taking money where someone thinks, oh, I'm putting money in, I'm going to get more back. But you almost never do. You almost never do. And the idea that this is being sold to you as a way to make money, there's only one way to make money, which is to work for it and then to save some of it. And yes, to invest it. And for people who say, well, what about gambling in the stock market? Well, actually, when you are investing in the stock market, you are helping to build some business or other. Some of those businesses will work, some of them won't. But long term, really, you look at the history, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, if you take it all the way back to before the Depression, before the big market crash, it's made profits of 11% a year. That's the average. Let's go to Joe in Long Beach, California. Joe, you're on the MedVed Show.
Michael, we know all businesses have positive and negative impacts on communities and people's lives, you know.
No, they don't. Not every business has a negative impact.
Many of them do, whether you're...
If you set up a nice health food restaurant, right, what's the negative impact?
Well, that's kind of not what I'm speaking of. If you set up a battery recycling operation, then you've got lots of impacts to the environment like we're having here in L.A. County. But the point that I'm making, Michael, is generally you are a champion of free enterprise and personal choice and keeping the government out from regulating activities. And, you know, I'm not a gambler myself, but I'm wondering why the change of heart.
It's not a change of heart. I have felt very strongly about gambling for a very long time. And I'll tell you one thing that made me change on this issue. Is years and years ago, I went to Las Vegas and I was welcomed there by the fellow who was bringing me out there for a speech. And he showed me something. He took me to a pawn shop. And it was a pawn shop not far from the Las Vegas Strip. And one of the things they had in a case was literally thousands of wedding rings that people had pawned to get more money to lose at the casinos. If that doesn't tell you what's wrong with gambling, I don't know what will. We will be right back with your calls. gambling on election results, some new polling that should be very, very encouraging for conservatives coming up.
Michael Medved.
He will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards.
It's the Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Four minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. Yeah, there's a ton of information on where gambling is a sucker bet. It's a sucker bet for legislatures. It's a sucker bet for city councils. It's a sucker bet, frankly, for Indian reservations. If gambling was such a beautiful and wonderful thing, why is it that more and more people aren't rushing out to live in the various reservations that support some of these institutions? And the answer is because you're not making money by creating anything or by building any wealth. You're making money by taking wealth away from people who are foolish or addicted or seduced enough to come to your institution and to drop all their money. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Let's go to your calls and to Dan in Seattle. Dan, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Morning, Dr. Michael. How are you today?
Very well indeed.
Hey, you know, you talk about the gambling, and 99% of what you're saying I full-heartedly agree with. However, there is one service they do provide, and that's entertainment. I go in there with no more than $20 to $30. I know I'm going to lose it, but I'm going to have some fun losing it. You know, going to different tables, going to the slot machines. I see it purely as entertainment and a good meal for a very cheap price. So it's a fun. My son and I both go out there and do it. I mean, not often, but that's power entertainment.
Sure, but, and again, it's a free country. The question that I would ask is, do you live near a casino?
Well, I live in Lakewood, so yeah, there's a few, but I don't. Again, we don't go very often.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think that part of our region up by Lakewood would be? I mean, I was talking to Jeremy about that strip along Aurora, where on the Highway 99 near Shoreline, where there are a bunch of these casinos, and there's also prostitution, and there's high crime. I mean, it's not the nicest environment, is it?
Well, the one I go to on occasion, we don't have a lot of that. I go to one in Lakewood and one in Auburn. I have not observed that there's stuff going on.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad, and just be very careful, because you can flip over and lose more money than you think relatively easily. Dan, I appreciate your call. When it comes to entertainment, by the way, this is why I know that horse racing is a form of gambling that a lot of people love. But see, I can understand, because you're watching a spectacle and there's a whole tradition and there's an atmosphere and you're watching a race. You're not just betting. Off-track betting, you don't really have that benefit. Let's go to Bob in Lewiston, Idaho. Bob, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Good to hear from you. You mentioned something about, like, you talked about your friend taking you out and showing you at the pawn shop wedding rings that by the numbers, and what a shock it was to you. And you know, I have parents that were staunch Catholic, a mother who was really addicted to gambling, but they were staunch Catholic. They didn't believe in divorce, and they were married for years and never divorced. But it was a point of contention. And so gambling not only ruined their relationship, I'm sure it's ruined lots of relationships. And if you look at the demographics of the gamblers out there, I mean, if you go into a casino, 9 times out of 10, it's people from that age group. They're retirees, and I'm sure that a lot of them went through the same thing my parents did. There was a contention that between them. My dad hated gambling. My mom loved it.
Well, you know, this is, and even if they both liked it, the old saying was the family that prays together stays together, not the family that plays slots together stays together. Not that, that there is a lot of family togetherness in casinos. And this is one of the things that is so peculiar about that environment. When I've walked through to casino floors, what's always striking is people, you're very much lost in your own world. It is the opposite of kind of a social setting. Because, well, particularly if you're playing at machines, that's with whom you're having the relationship. I'm sorry to hear about the struggles of your parents. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
You can't handle the truth.
Of the Michael Medved Show are sponsored by StopHamasNow.com.
Let's go to Steve in Sacramento, California. You're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Michael. You know what? Gambling is just another tax, if you look at it. And it's just a tax on people who aren't good at math.
Well, is that another way of saying, but see, people who aren't good at math or people who can't figure things out or have a lack of logic have enough of a handicap. Normally, what you do with a tax is you tax people who are favored. You tax people who have earned a lot of money. But gambling, especially state-promoted gambling like lotteries, which I think are a complete disaster, all of that is a tax on stupidity. And stupidity is enough of a handicap. Appreciate your call, Steve. Let's go to Lee in Louisville. Lee, you're on the Medved Show.
Yes, Michael. 10 to 15 years ago, there was a study by a professor who did a study of the area below Memphis on the Mississippi, where they started building one casino, then the second and the third. And he discovered that each time they added a casino, the number of incidents of family disruption, bankruptcies, increased in crime, increased in prostitution, increased as the number of casinos increased. So there's no question there's huge social cost, which the community and the state has to pick up for the
that's fascinating. I'll have to look that up. But it seems to me easy to figure out why that is, because, look, the families survive because you're able to spend time together. That's one of the whole ideas of a Sabbath, whether you celebrate your Sabbath on Sunday, your Lord's Day on Sunday, or on Saturday. And the fact is that if you're deeply addicted to gambling and you're going to spend a big chunk of your free time losing the family's money, well, look, it's not ideal. We can do better than that. And the state at least shouldn't promote it, not in this greatest nation on God's green earth.